This is another episode in our ongoing sequel or series of The Laws of Life. Tonight we're examining the law of balance. Our question is, what is the divine law of balance, and how can an aspirant best harness it? I've shuffled the cards, I've laid them out, and we have the following spread. I'm going to mute here because we're getting some feedback. The starting point is the devil, right side up. The counterpoint is temperance, right side up. Actually, no, upside down. I've got it turned around on my head.
What are the numbers?
The devil is number 15 and temperance number 14 in the major arcana. So the devil becomes a 6, temperance becomes a 5. So the 6, the number 6 for the devil indicates a card that resonates with energy, and temperance being a 5 resonates with balance, the law of balance. So obviously we're talking about the balancing of energy here. And the creative challenge is the Knight of Swords upside down. I mean, the King of Swords, I can't read.
What's the Knight?
No, I've got the King. I got the King of Swords. You're looking at the old one.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay. The purpose is the Ace of Cups, right side up. The endowment is the 9 of Pentacles, upside down. The destiny is the Knight of Cups, right side up. Actually, yeah, the Knight of Cups, right side up. The real question is the Knight of Rods, right side up. The unseen factors or forces, the 8 of Cups, right side up. The spiritual ideal is the 7 of Rods, right side up. And the culmination or fulfillment is the King of Cups, upside down. So we have 6 upright cards, 4 reverse cards. We have 2 majors, being the first 2 cards, the Devil and Temperance. We have 1 sword, 3 rods, 3 cups, and 1 pentacle. It's in balance, 1, 3, 3, 1.
Oh, that's too many.
No. 3 and 3 is 6 and 4 is 2 majors, 1 sword, 1 pentacle is 4. Plus 6, 3 rods and 3 cups. 10 cards. What count do you have?
I have 2 majors, 1 sword, 2 rods, 4 cups, and 1 pentacle.
Well, let's see. 7 of Rods, 9 of Rods, and, okay.
2 rods, 4 cups.
Okay. I guess you got them. So, it's, as I said, it's 2 majors, 1 sword, 2 rods, 4 cups, and 1 pentacle.
Yeah.
All right. I stand corrected. in any event, this is a very intriguing display here. You might wonder why we start with the devil, but we're starting with the devil, and the counterpoint is temperance. And the devil, of course, as you know, is a divine force. It's merely the force that destroys and separates things, creates schisms in the physical world, the world of form. And so we have this massive figure of a big bat that represents the anthropomorphic devil. And we have 2 human beings, a male and a female, with their backs turned to each other, separated. And he's created a schism here. Everything turned upside down. And the meaning here is that in order to appear in form and do our work, we've had to incarnate into a world of schisms where any energy as it enters the earth plane, mentally, emotionally, physically, automatically divides into a duality. And the one side opposes the other side, and ultimately, as we learn, they learn to cooperate and reunite. And all the basic message of most good science fiction fantasy, like the Earthsea trilogy, is the quest for the reunification of the broken ring. So what we have here is a statement about cleavages, and we have to understand that this balance is not what you can put on the two sides of scales, and they weigh equally. What we're talking about is balancing forces, specifically balancing the inner and the outer forces of life. In this regard, one of the key cards in this spread is the spiritual ideal, the seven of rods, where that horizontal rod that he's holding and using to magically lift up and cause the lower rods to rise up is the mean. And his head is above the mean, and the six rods are below the mean. So we find ourselves in a situation where most of our life is conducted below the mean. All of physical life, most emotional life, and still a fair chunk of mental life is conducted below the mean. But it needs to be in balance with life above the mean, or the inner and the outer forms of life have to be in balance. And the problem is that that's not usually the case. That what was it we were watching the other night? Somebody said something about it must have been a Midsommar Murder. Something about being spiritual, and the character responded, "I didn't know it was Sunday," and I don't remember the fuller context of that, but that's, for most people, balance between the inner and the outer life means that they go to church on Sunday and they forget about God the rest of the week. But that's not balance, that's imbalance. And so most of the problems we run into here is that are the result of a significant imbalance in our own consciousness between the inner and the outer dimensions of life. And that creates pressure on us, the force of conscience, the force to respond to our inner impulses, the higher life. But in a broader, more philosophical sense, then we can also say that the devil card refers to any cleavage in human life. The splits that occur, for example, in marriage, the splits that occur between parent and child, the splits that occur between nations, between groups within nations. Our national political system is split between two parties, neither of which are aspects of government, but have intruded into the government process and hold it hostage, basically. We talk about the schism between the haves and the have-nots, and on and on and on and on. And so as we learn to work with the law of balance, it's not that we've learned to favor one side over the other. We recognize, again, the ideal here is my equilateral triangle with ourselves at the apex. That's the point of balance. We can see the balance between any pairs of opposites in any duality and understand what it means to strike a balance, achieve a balance between the two, get them both cooperating one with the other. And that's the point that we're getting at here. But this is a very serious aspect of human life to think about, because our life is defined in terms of cleavages, schisms, And our work is to bring them back together again. But the great schism that we face is between the inner and the outer. And that's where we're meant to achieve balance. So this starting point of the devil reminds us that the only real sin is the sin of separation, of believing ourselves to be separate from God. Now, that's a sin that is easily fallen into. It's a sin that must be conquered and overcome, and we must rise up out of it and become companions with our divine nature. The one thing we know about God, we don't know a whole lot about God, but one thing we do know about God is that he created mankind in his own image. And so what we should be looking for is, what does that mean? What is the image that we're meant to achieve? And that would be the image of wholeness. And so balance arises as a result of the ability to grasp the wholeness of life. And in fact, that's something that we'll discuss in this research here. In order to serve the intent and the creative redemptive purpose of God, we took a tumble into matter known as the fall, portrayed by the expulsion from Eden, which is and this is all referred to in the card of the devil. But that would be an inversion. And so in that, what we have as a result of that fall, one of the few things that we have to guide us is our own intelligence and its connection with the divine. And of course, our intelligence is rooted in the divine. So the devil here is not a force that splits things, but rather split so that we can then creatively reunite. And that's the key to balance. It's the key, but understand, we have to understand that we're talking about balancing forces and pressures within ourselves. We need to strike a balance of or equilibrium between the outer life and the inner life. And so this is a very relevant question. We'll talk about this when we get to the real question, the Knight of Rods. But this is a very real question to people. Is your inner life balanced with the outer life? Do you even know what your inner life is? Well, of course, all of us do, because we've been studying it for lo these many years. And it's far vaster than we had any idea that it would be. It embraces all of life in a very real sense. Okay, so having set the tone with the devil, we can go on to the counterpoint, which is the second major card, Temperance, number 14 or 5. Temperance is an angelic force kind of cramped in that rectangular box, vertically. Doesn't look like the angel's wings are very comfortable being caught in that particular narrow presentation. But temperance is the capacity to bring energy from the level of spirit into the physical plane to redeem life, to gradually, as we use our intelligence, our love, and our joyful approach to life, we gradually bathe all of the substance of life with our enthusiasm, with our spiritual force, and it transforms it, it changes it. In this card, notice right at the throat, there are like four, maybe five blue triangles of differing size. And those triangles represent the monad or the spirit. And so ultimately, we are, through the aegis of the soul, we're learning to express and become a conduit for the expression of monadic force, which is the image of God itself. And that has to be stepped down. That has to be, every step we need to maintain that balance. It's like if you have a, if you're on a ship in the Great Lakes and you're moving from one lake to the next and you go through a series of locks, you, because the next lake is several hundred feet higher than the first lake, you, your ship enters the lock fills up with water, the boat floats to the top, and then the gateway is opened, and you're able to go into the next lock, and then you repeat the process, and step by step by step, the ship rises up to the level of the next lake. Well, that's done through raising the level of the water in which the boat floats. It's the same kind of thing here. If we're going to have a chain for the expression of monadic force, we have to be able to, in consciousness, lift our consciousness, the rising mind, up to a level where our ideas float at the same level as the monadic life, and then we bring it down step by step by step, because if we brought it down too quickly, it would result in a big thud, and we would lose whatever cargo we were bringing with us. So we have to understand that the principle of balance, the law of balance, is vital in our work of bringing the life of the inner levels of spirit into expression on the physical plane. We can't just say, be done and it's done, or there would be a big thud as our boat crashed. So temperance is the process of transferring energy from above the mean to life below the mean. And the mean is the line of demarcation which defines balance. We have to have an equal amount of pressure, so metaphorically speaking, above the mean and below the mean. In ordinary human parlance, that's the purpose of prayer, to elevate you up to the point where your invocation becomes strong enough to attract the energies above the mean and draw them into life. So prayer, as we'll see again in a moment, ask and it shall be given you. Prayer is a direct expression of this law of balance. We have to be able to ask for what we're trying to bring down. And eventually we learn to do that almost as easily as we add 2 plus 2 equals 4. Okay, that sets a tone for the reading. Before I go on, comments and questions. Any comments or questions before I go on?
Carl, what is the representation of the star on the forehead of the devil? I don't. You might have mentioned it, but I.
No, I haven't. I've mentioned it in the past. In this particular case, it's the it's a symbol of inversion. It's the star is a five-pointed star, so it's a symbol of the mind. And of course, so that would be the fourth rod that I, or the third rod that I missed. But it's inverted, so it's the mind seeking immersion in form, or involution, or is being drawn down in a sense, perversion is being perverted into form. And that's what materialism does. It perverts the mind from serving the soul to serving the personality. And so, yes, that's what causes this. We then reverse the process and promote the rising mind, as we'll see later in the reading. But that's the symbolism there. It's part of the fall, part of temptation. Any other comments or questions before we move on? Well, I'm going to mute again because we're still getting feedback. All right, the third card here is the King of Swords is in the position of the challenge. And being a king, one of two kings, the two top spots in the reading, number four, 3 and number 10, are kings, the King of Swords and the King of Cups. And the interesting thing here is to look at his shield and see the chevron pattern on the shield. This is where the energies come together and meet. And this implies conflict leading to unity. The conflicts between duality leading to unity. And so his mastery is his ability to yoke together the yin and the yang, the opposites that appear in the physical plane, but also the inner and the outer. And again, that's we achieve balance by learning to unite the pairs of opposites, not by coexisting with them. And we don't do this by finding a compromise between right and wrong. We do it by integration. We integrate the spirit into the earth plane and transform the earth plane with spirit. So, for example, as we generate more and more goodwill, we actually become more acutely aware of the cleavages that occur in the physical plane, the splits in families, the splits in churches. Isn't it interesting that a church like the Catholic Church would go through so many schisms and still be as strong as it is? And denominations split off, and then they have arguments among themselves, and they split again. This is because of the difficulty of the human mind to embrace the wholeness. It gets caught up in schisms and sides, and parties and isms, schisms and isms, isms and schisms. How to write a book, isms and schisms. Be interesting. So anyway, the work of the challenge here is to, as human beings, our gift of consciousness is the ability to learn to use our intelligence to establish this balance between the creative impulse of the divine life and the resistance of materialism. So, and as we do that, as we encounter this, we develop true mastery, which is what the king represents. We then come down to the fourth card, the purpose, and we have the Ace of Cups, our old friend the Ace of Cups, the cup with the sun, sunny side up, coming up out of the cup and radiating throughout the world. This is reminiscent of the statement by the Christ of you light a lamp, you put it on a lampstand so that it can shine out for all to see, kind of the lighthouse approach. And so this is the this card represents the need to illuminate life on earth being a realm of relative darkness, and we bring in our creative energy and our enthusiasm, and we find ways to, well, we were just watching the news on Fox at 7 o'clock, and they were talking about this the possibility over the next 50-100 years, whatever, of developing tubular energy, tubular movement in lieu of railroads and airplanes. Well, it would be like a train, but except it would be
in a tube.
It would be a cartridge in a tube that would, through magnetic pull, shoot the tube and its occupants across the country, across around the world. And they were saying that it would take, this tube could travel as fast as 1,000 miles an hour and would have no resistance because you wouldn't have railroad crossings where you'd have to wait for school buses and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You would just go through this tube, and that it's practical and can be done and might be a reality within 50 years or so. And you could travel from New York to California in an hour. You could travel from New York to Beijing, China in 2 hours. It would go over the sea or under the sea or whichever way would be fastest, I guess. And the potential for that is of course amazing, because it would be a self-contained tube, so unless a meteor dropped on it or a plane crashed into it, there would be no real danger in this tube, assuming that it was all worked out correctly, and it would be magnetic force. So we human beings have our intelligence has an amazing capacity to tune into patterns like that and things that are practical realities on the inner levels of life and work out practical solutions so that we can build things in the physical plane that mirror what's going on or what is potential in the inner spiritual levels of life. And so that's an example of that. We should never put limits on ourselves, because those limits exist only in the physical plane. They don't exist in the level of spirit. But we have this issue of balance. And so as we learn to heal diseases and create new masterpieces of literature and music and art, we're working with the law of balance. As above, so below. As within, so without. All right, so we let our light shine forth, but we have to be willing to personify that light and illuminate the earth. And one of the ways that this prints out is we gradually begin to fill the earth with more wisdom, more goodwill. It may seem achingly slow at times, but when you consider that 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, goodwill was not even a word. Freedom was certainly not a word that most people used. We've made significant progress in achieving this balance. There's still more to come. One of the things that I'm reminded of as I do this, of course, is part of the work of balancing the inner and the outer levels of life is our communion with spooks. As we interact with and chat with spooks, we're achieving a balance of communication where none is thought to exist. And we're doing it in our minds and with our minds. And the mind is the primary force and factor here. The mind is the active force. The emotions are more the passive receptive force. And that's why those two dominate the spread. Half the cards are split between, six of the 10 cards are either rods or cups. And so as we chat with spooks, they're bringing this up right now because, of course, one of the ways that spooks communicate to us is by applying a little bit of pressure, which implies that there's in the old TV comedy, Third Rock from the Sun, when the one kid would go into a mode of getting a message from the big head, he would always say, "Incoming!" And so that's the same sort of thing here. We recognize some pressure, and we say, "Incoming!" And that is how we achieve balance, through the mind. The mind is several thousand years ago, we probably did not have the capacity to do this. And yet, through diligent study and work and exercise, we've learned how to do this. All right, we go on to the endowment. We have the Nine of Pentacles. This is another important piece of the puzzle here. The Nine of Pentacles is a woman or a man, it's hard to say, unisex, with a quite an elaborate robe and this bird of paradise or whatever it is lovingly coming up and they're almost kissing. This creates a complete unit here, the higher self and the personality, and it's almost like the yin and the yang here. But it's a card of companionship, and it's in the background is the vineyard with the tree of life growing, and so this is the importance of companionship in the process of growth, and so this establishes the idea of the complete whole rather than the parts and the fragments and the splits, and as we achieve this relationship with the personality, between the soul and the personality, we are achieving balance through growth. We achieve balance between the inner and the outer, between mass consciousness and our own focusing consciousness would be another way of interpreting this. So this companionship, our final book in the Enlightenment series, Companions in the Light, elaborates on this theme. We're meant to be companions with pets. We're meant to be companions with nature, companions with the mineral kingdom. We're meant to be companions with angels, with God, with big ideas, with spooks. There is no barrier between the inner and the outer. We create a barrier whenever somebody we know dies and we think they're lost forever, which is a very rude and boorish behavior on our part. They're right there. They're close by. It's that companionship that is the great symbol of how we work with the law of balance. We learn to create a mind that is both active and receptive at the same time so that it can be impressed with ideas from the big head, from headquarters, whatever you want to say, from the ashram, whatever. And this is an integral part of growth. Through this, the intelligence of life on Earth grows as well. Then we come to the card of the destiny, the Knight of Cups. The Knight of Cups has behind him, pretty much on the same side of the card, as he's got those two flowering plants there, very much reminiscent of the vineyard and the tree of life in the previous card. So again, he's motivated by the impulse to grow, motivated by the concept of nurturing goodwill. And that's what he fills his cup with. As goodwill pours into our awareness, we become aware of the need to repair that which is broken or estranged. Goodwill brings the two opposites together in a single expression of wholeness. And the knight becomes the agent of life, the agent of love, motivated to service. And it's interesting that we have the Knight of Cups in the card of the destiny, and then the very next card is the beginning of the Pillar of Revelation, the Knight of Rods. We'll get to that in a minute. But I want to pause here, and now that we've completed the first six cards, see if there's any further questions. Any comments or questions? Anybody? Well, all right, let me go on a little bit. Turning to the Pillar of Revelation, this is where it gets really interesting. We have the card of the real question, the Knight of Rods. And the Knight of Rods, again, alludes to the concept of the knight of service. And he's got his hand firmly on the rod of the mind. And down here in the lower right-hand corner is all this purified, redeemed substance that his mind has tackled and conquered. And so he is a competent agent. But the real question is to, in terms of how does the aspirant use the law of balance, is we should be asking self constantly, what is out of balance in life today? Our personal life, the life of our relationship with God, the life around us. What is out of balance in life today? And we should be constantly asking this question, because the answer we get today will lead us to the answer we get tomorrow, and that will be that much greater. But for the average person, the answer to that question is usually, what is out of balance in their life today? It's probably karma. Or it might be a relationship where they're estranged from another person. And in some cases, perhaps it's recognition that they have worked hard in a corporate setting or a work setting, and they haven't gotten the recognition or the salary increases that they deserve. Just again on the news today, there was the story of the person, the Marine or whoever it was, who won the Medal of Honor a couple of years ago, and now the news has come out that his interpreter, he won the Medal of Honor for valor, saving a whole slew of his fellow Marines or whatever in Afghanistan. And the news today was that 2 years later, 4 years after the event in which this happened, his Afghan native translator is trying to get a visa to come to this country so that he doesn't have to worry about reprisals from the Taliban. But the federal bureaucracy has been working a little too slowly, and he hasn't been able to get this visa. So here is this war hero, Medal of Honor winner, who's unable to pull strings to get his very deserving translator a visa to come and live in this country where he'll be safe. And he said that without the help of his translator, he never could have done what he did in that particular situation. He relied upon him for that help. So something's out of balance there. And it's interesting that that came up on the news tonight after I wrote today's MassCon Recon report about bureaucracy stiffening its back and being inflexible. So there's a condition that's out of balance. But we should be asking this question on a daily basis. What in life is out of balance, and what can I do to bring it back into wholeness, to complete the relationship? What's the cleavage? And how does it heal? How's the rift healed? And that's what we are given minds for, to develop this kind of insight and awareness, so that we're having a constant dialogue with our higher self, as a true companion would. This is the meaning of the dialogues of Socrates. Yes, they often have to do with conversations between he and a sophist, or he and a student, or whatever. But in fact, the true dialogue we're meant to create is a dialogue between ourselves and the higher dimensions of life, the inner and the outer, balancing the inner and the outer, so that our life is a constant flow of intelligence and wisdom and love through the vehicle of the mind to help us solve specific problems, to help us reunite wherever there have been splits. So, what is out of balance in our life today, our personal life or the life around us? It could be karma, it could be relationships, it could be recognition, it could be talents, it could be skills. If we have a set of skills that we're not actively using in daily life, it's out of balance. And we need to recognize that, not in a self-condemning sort of way, but in a sense of, okay, I need to get these active and get to work working with them. So we should ask this question on a daily basis. In what way am I out of balance? Because that is the key to understanding what you should be doing now. When we look at our society and say what factors are out of balance, it's easy to find them. But we have to, instead of finding them in order to condemn and say this isn't right, we need to find them and then say, how is it solved? And if we are worried about the enormous amount of fuel that's consumed by a jet plane flying from New York to California, we should consider alternates like the tube. And that's the way we as human beings work to restore balance. We try to create a sense of balance between the inner and the outer levels of life, because there's a tremendous pressure on the outer life to transform it and redeem it so that it serves the purposes of the inner life. Okay, then we come to the unseen forces, and we have the Eight of Cups, and we have a kind of a hermetic figure, not a hermetic, that's a jar.
It's a mayonnaise jar.
Mayonnaise jar on Funkin' Wagnall's doorstep, yes. We have a hermetic figure here under an August moon, and he's on one side of a seemingly uncrossable river. There's no ferry there to take him across. And he's got his eight cups lined up, but he wants to get to the other side, we presume, for whatever reason. He doesn't know how to get there and keep his cups as well. So this is a card of sacrifice, of learning to transcend our own limitations. The eight cups would represent what we believe to be important, but which are really just limitations that we impose upon ourselves let others impose upon us. And so we must learn to forego our emotional reactiveness. This is a card of the rising mind, rising above the emotions, and understanding that while the emotions can be very helpful in many situations, they can also lead us into fantasy land and overstate the nature of our imbalances, and that we need to balance these particular treasures with the treasures we know exist on the other side of the river, the treasures of heaven, the treasures of the gifts of spirit, the treasures of intuition, the treasures of wisdom, the treasures of communion, and so on and so on and so on, all of which are far more worthwhile and substantial than the treasures we think are so important in life. So here's a question of balance, balancing the treasures we've accumulated, including our own skills and talents here in the physical plane, and balancing them appropriately with the treasures of heaven on the inner dimensions of life. So again, we're balancing the inner and the outer dimensions of life. We're not balancing this versus that. We're not balancing male versus female. That's what we are led to believe in the devil card, but we've gone beyond that. Okay, then we come to the card of the spiritual ideal, and we have the Seven of Rods, one of my favorite cards in the whole spread. Seven of Rods is, again, as I mentioned, the horizontal rod represents the mean, and the head of the wise husbandman is above the mean, and the rods are the rising mind coming up, being tutored by the big head above the mean. And so we have this element of nurturing what's good in life. And again, as we understand the true nature of balance, the law of balance is that everything that we want to achieve in the physical plane can be achieved by learning to bring the life of spirit into manifestation in the physical plane. And as St. Teresa said so wonderfully, con la paciencia todo lo alcanza, with patience everything is achieved. And that patience is part of the expression of the law of balance, that we understand that we have the opportunity to bring this in and to use the intelligence, the wisdom, the love of the higher self to cultivate. This is the spiritual ideal, is to pass his sense of balance on to other people, students, people coming up, people growing, the aspirin being drawn up like those rods. And so we have the sense of discovery here. Oh, dear. Okay. This is in two parts. Hopefully this works. Where was I before I messed up the recording? We're back at the Seven of Rods. Education is a great tool for achieving balance. We learn to cultivate the skills of the mind and use them to achieve this balance. And again, this is the an expression of this principle of balance is in the Sermon on the Mount. Asking and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find. Everything that is possible in the physical plane has its roots and its antecedents and its solution in the life above the being. And so we must see that we're the balancing act. The mind is the great balancer. The mind can contact the solutions we so desperately need and can bring them down and explain them and implement them so that they come to life here in the physical plane. It's interesting that the word in Latin for the soul is anima, or at least in Spanish it is anima, and in English we talk about animated as the soul animates the personality. The soul, our very words, proclaim the divine plan, the divine nature of life. It's the soul that animates the personality. It's the soul that profits from the companionship, every bit as much as the personality does. And together they form this company, this companionship, which is the ultimate model for balance. And so we should not, if we have a sense that the soul is some, God is to be feared, and we should be afraid to stand in the countenance of God and have a one-on-one, then we're missing this law of balance. The life on the physical plane has no meaning except as we work with the balance of spirit and achieve a balanced flow of energy from spirit to form and back again through our invocations. And that's the loop that's indicated in the Nine of Pentacles. The energies go down, they come back up. Then we come to the fulfillment, and this is the King of Cups. And the King of Cups is, again, being a king, it represents mastery, the mastery of the soul. And the King of Cups in this particular spread contains what I would define, and we talked about this earlier in one of the earlier laws, as expansive response. You remember there was the law of expansive response. Well, I think that's what the King of Cups represents. He represents the ability of spirit to respond to our requests and our needs and our willingness to work and sacrifice and do the good work. The soul has the capacity for an expansive response. And that sometimes we forget about that. And we work and work and work and wonder why there's no response from the soul. And of course there is, but all of a sudden then everything falls into place and voila, we have a complete whole. And so we should never overlook that possibility, even if at times we get distracted by our impatience and our lack of understanding. So I'm going to stop there. I'm going to unmute and entertain comments and questions here about the law of balance, the divine law of balance that balances the inner and the outer life. and is something that we can rely on as we interact with the inner life, whether we're chatting with spooks or connecting with our own higher intelligence. Comments and questions?
Well, I noticed in the Nine of Pentacles, you were talking about the companionship and the soul animating the personality. When I was looking at this card before, the way the bird is positioned on the person, it looks as if they're almost breathing into the bird, like breathing life. I mean, I just like the lips, the way the lips are directed, and yet that bird is positioned exactly the way it needs to be to receive that breath. Okay. It's just the impression that I get when I look at it. And I'm
You've been watching too much Harry Potter.
Think, huh?
Yeah. Especially when he summons the, whatchamacallit, the Patronus. And the Dementors have come and sucked the life out of Harry and Sirius Black. And the Patronus breathes it back into him. Very good. Yes, that's a good observation. There's a very close up front and personal relationship there between the person and the bird and the pet, or between the higher self and the personalities, if you wish to think of it that way. Good. Other comments and questions?
Well, it's interesting what you said about every day asking what is out of balance, you know, and that would be where your work for the day would be. I mean, you could do that in almost any situation.
Right. And should be in the habit of doing it in every situation.
I mean, you could ask that for the people that you're helping during the course of the day.
Right, right. Exactly. And it may not be very far out of balance. It may be something that only you perceive. But by tweaking that a little bit, you bring yourself back into a better sense of stability and equilibrium. And when we're at the grocery store and something seems just slightly out of kilter, that may be a sign that we could do a little something to get back into harmony and balance in ourselves, in our own skin, so that we move gracefully through life. And certainly, whenever we catch ourselves complaining and whining and moaning and groaning about life, we should ask ourselves, what is out of balance that I'm in such a rotten mood here? And this is one of the reasons why there are two rods and four cups, as you correctly pointed out to me. And that is that it's the cups that our emotional reactions to life that tend to knock us out of balance far more than the mind. It's the mind that generally solves the problem, restores balance. But it's the emotional identification with selfhood, selfish interests, and so on, that may throw us slightly into a false key. And so if we can recognize that and resolve that, then we're in a much better shape to move forward. Other comments or questions?
Even the question sets you up for finding, too. It's the ask and it shall be given to you. So that was just such a good suggestion. If you ask, you're going to get that answer.
Sure. Well, the law of balance guarantees it. Exactly. This is the balance that I talk about in the Basic Course between the ideal and the actual. You're stuck in some situation, you don't know the answer, you invoke the ideal, and that helps you harmonize between the ideal and the actual so you can implement the ideal. And it happens once you get a little bit of practice, it happens automatically. And this is part of the wisdom of human life. We have this capacity, we have this skill, and we should cultivate it. Good. Anybody else? Anything else? Well, that's it for this session. Thank you and good night.